Why the cross? It is appointed unto man how many times to die? How many times? Once to die. After that is what? And every sinner, if you die a sinner, you are going to hell. If you die a sinner, forever, you are gone. You are gone forever. You are dead forever. But now death has a power. I described it the other day here, like a bee. Now a bee has the poison is in that sting, that thing that is at the back there. When it comes like this, it will choke your skin and put that poison there. Now by the time he comes out, he leaves that sting there. Whatever he uses to sting you comes out of his body. When it comes out of his body, of that bee, forever that bee has no power to sting again, because it has been removed from him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The sting of the bee, he can only hit once. But here is the sting of death, that we hit a sinner and the sinner will die and go to hellfire. But that sting, hallelujah, instead of coming to me, Jesus Christ received it. And because he received it, that sting of death has no power over me again, because the power has been removed by Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, death has no power over me again. Grave has no victory over me again. You thought if I die, I am finished. But by the reason of the cross, when I die, I am only sleeping. I am only sleeping. Grave has no victory over me again. Now, what is redeemed? That is the transaction. That is the transaction code. It is called redeemed. That is the transaction that was carried out on the cross. That word redeem. Redeem. What is redeem? Something that was originally yours. You lost it. The process of having your thing back to you is called redemption. We were originally his own. Our names written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. But because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, we were lost. And the process of God bringing us back to himself is called redeem. Why the cross? Let the living do something to show you are alive this morning. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Bible study or exhortation this morning, we'll be talking about the cross of Jesus. So let's sing one song about the cross before we sit down. Hymn number 146, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart roll away. Oh yes. Thank you.
so awo asa at the cross where for so
verse 23 before we sit down. Let's pick a text. May the Lord cause me to say something, and may the Lord cause you to hear something that will better your Christian life today in the name of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9 verse 23, I read in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to them all, Jesus Christ said to them all, if any man, and includes any woman, will come after me, let him, let her deny himself, deny herself, and take up his, and take up her cross daily, daily, and follow me. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And he says, if you will come after him, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross. And so my exhortation this morning, or a Bible study, whichever way you call it, I want to, is titled, Why the Cross? Why didn't he say you should pick your Bible and follow me? Why didn't he say you should carry your money and follow me? Why didn't he say you should bring any other thing to follow him but the cross? So why the cross? Why the cross? That is why we want to look at it. And it's important that you listen, like I said. Unless you know who Jesus Christ is, your Christian faith cannot be properly defined. It's upon the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. That your Christian life is built upon, and nothing can shake it. It is only on that revelation that we can all speak like Apostle Paul will speak, what can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? What can separate me? Note that the cross is the symbol of the Christian faith. We hang it right here. We have no other symbol than the cross that is hanging there. And we even sing, so we cherish that old rugged cross. We sing about the cross in so many ways, in so many songs, but sometimes we don't even get to meditate on the depth of what we are singing or what we are saying. It is a symbol of our faith. Why is it a symbol of our faith? That is where that great transaction was done. That great transaction between God and Satan. The transaction between God and Satan. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the transaction between God and Satan. Satan took a hold of the children of God from the Garden of Eden. The process of getting us back to him, it was a transaction that was done at the cross. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why that songwriter says, he says, it is done, the great transaction is done. He said, I am my Lord's and he is mine. He said, he drew me and I followed on. Chance to confess the voice divine. It's a happy day. Happy day. Very happy day. Oh, when Jesus washed my sins away. I've told you the best sermon I have is the only sermon in the Bible that I know. Any other thing is hanging on it is the message of the cross. Oh my. That revelation of what happened on the cross of Calvary excites me. Every day, I repeat, every day I meditate on the cross. And I'm saying this, that is for me, that's for me. Every day, and because I meditate on the cross, he grants me understanding every day, every day, every day, every day. That songwriter says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious cross. Says, my sin, not in part, but the whole. In part, he paid for my sins fully. Fully. You can't condemn me again, Satan. Lie, lie. Oh, glory be to God. A songwriter says, Satan said, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I say,
so I just tell
why
you
will I not be happy?
Because my sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
Gone forever. Gone forever.
I'm discomfort.
And when I bring the school,
I see that the world
has been wearing.
Where are my sins?
I said,
oh yes.
My sins.
Where are they?
Are gone.
Where are my sins?
Where are they?
Where are they? Where are they?
On the cross,
on the cross of Calvary,
as far removed,
as far removed as darkness is from God.
In the sea,
oh, in the sea of God, forgetfulness
is good
as good enough. Praise God,
praise God.
My sins are gone.
Hallelujah. Unless you catch this revelation, you will only be a religious person. You only be a religious person. Unless you catch this revelation of what happened on the cross, you will live a life grumbling, grumbling, grumbling because you don't have a job, grumbling because you are not married, grumbling because you don't have a child. God has forgotten you. For while we were yet sinners, how can you say he has forgotten you? How can you say he has forgotten you? While we were yet sinners, he died, he paid the price. He paid the price. What are you saying? How can you be serving God for what he will do for you? We serve him for what he has done for us. Hallelujah. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on the cross on Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want somebody to fall in love with Jesus. I want somebody to fall in love with Jesus. Unless you love him, you cannot even love him until you know who he is. Amen. It's more than a confession in the mouth. It is a revelation. And may somebody cut that revelation in the name of Jesus. So that you will not be doing God a favor. You will not think you are doing God a favor when you serve him. You will now serve God by obligation. And may somebody catch that revelation. That when Jesus Christ in John 19 verse 30 said it is finished, that is when the transaction was concluded on the cross on Calvary. Hallelujah. And it is there death was conquered. Death was conquered. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You see that in John 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 55 to verse 57. Let's read it. That's where the conclusion is. He said, oh death, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? You know why he said so? Oh death, where is thy sting? Hallelujah. It is appointed unto man how many times to die? How many times? Once to die. After that is what? And every sinner, if you die a sinner, you're going to hell. If you die a sinner, forever, 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 you are gone. You are gone forever. You are dead forever. But now death has a power. I described it the other day here, like a bee. Now a bee has the poison is in that sting, that thing that is at the back there. When it comes like this, it will choke your skin and put that poison there. Now by the time he comes out, he leaves that sting there, whatever he uses to sting you, comes out of his body. When it comes out of his body, of that bee, forever, that bee has no power to sting again because it has been removed from him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The sting of the bee, he can only hit once. But here is the sting of death. That we hit a sinner and the sinner will die and go to hellfire. But that sting, hallelujah, instead of coming to me, Jesus Christ received it. And because he received it, that sting of death, death has no power over me again, because the power has been removed by Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, death has no power over me again. Grave has no victory over me again. You thought if I die, I am finished. But by the reason of the cross, when I die, I am only sleeping. I am only sleeping. Grave has no victory over me again. I don't know how many people are really catching this. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It talks, Galatians chapter 3. He said, Christ has redeemed. Now, what is redeemed? That is the transaction. That is the transaction code. It is called redeem. That is the transaction that was carried out on the cross. That word, redeem. Redeem. What is redeem? Something that was originally yours. You lost it. The process of having your thing back to you is called redemption. We were originally his own. Our names written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. But because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, we were lost. And the process of God bringing us back to himself is called redeem. A curse came upon us through Adam. Let's read that verse again, verse 13. It said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see? For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appear to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. My emphasis. Who gave himself for us? He gave himself for us. The soul that sinned shall die. But instead of me to die, he died for me, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He did it in Galatians chapter 1 from verse 3, 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 1. I want you to know the importance of the cross. Say, this is the way he put it. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he gave, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And verse 5, to whom? Him alone. That's why I say all glory will go to him. No man takes any glory. No man was qualified to receive that sealed book. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what happened on the cross? It was what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. Verse 18. And all things are of God who has reconciled. That is the word. Reconciled us to himself. What happened on the cross of Calvary? There was a reconciliation transaction going on there by Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not the ministry of prosperity. It's a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Now then, you see, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the church will say, and see the transaction process. Immediately in verse 34 of John chapter 19, that soldier tore his side, blood and water came out. And that songwriter calls it the double cure. The blood and water that flow from the wounded side, it is of sin, the double cure, the double cure. Hallelujah. Why the double cure? Because I say it's a transaction. When the songwriter says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the flow from thy womb, that side which we know, be of sin the double cure, save from rot and make me pure. These are some of the things that I want to drum it to the bride of Christ worldwide. For this revelation is what stands us out. This is the depth of a revelation you must know. It defines your Christian faith. I'm telling you, you won't be wasting your time and effort on church politics. There's church politics. There are politicians in the church. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said, mark them that cause division. He said, they serve not God. He said, their belly is their God. They always do that. When you want to know who they are, you imagine that there are brethren that we thought they were part of us. They were church workers in this ministry. Church workers. Some of them in IT department. Some of them in security department. Some of them in sanitation department. That the church, they came in like members. Because if this church has to employ people, we should not go outside and employ. We must employ from within us. We employed them. COVID-19 came. Since there is no income coming to the church, we had to remove some from our pay list. And the truth is, it was only temporary. But we did not tell them it is temporary. And as we told them to go, they manifested two spirits. Some decided to still come and continue with their work, whether they are paying or not. The reason is because this is not the reason I came to this church. I came to worship God first and foremost. And some say, okay, I've gotten another job somewhere else, but I must continue to come to church. While others stopped coming to church, not because they have another job. Instead, they changed church. The question we ask, we have been asking ourselves, we say, so this COVID-19, all things work together for good. There are people who are thinking our brothers and our sisters. We didn't know that what they came here, and as soon as we removed them, they started politics. Are you still in that church? Don't you know Pastor Moses is occultic and say all manner of things? Amen. This is what I want to knock off your head. Brethren, look up. Your redemption is near. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blood and water came out of the side of Jesus Christ. That blood was the price for redemption, and the water was for restoration, to clean us up. The thief coming up to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, using the water that came from inside. He is a restorer. After paying your price, he brings you and cleans you up. That is the parable of the Good Samaritan. He binds your wounds and takes you to the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the fivefold ministry. Praise the Lord. And he gives them 2 days' wages. Brethren, fivefold ministers. Hallelujah. We have our reward. Do your work. Just do your work. He said, when he comes, he will give us more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I was telling Prophet Timothy yesterday, he said, from Monday till yesterday, no sleep. Monday, he was here 24 hours. Tuesday, again, he continued one group or the other, continually invite him to come and bless them in their weekly vigil. Till yesterday, his eyes, as he, if you see him yesterday when he came, you think he has taken tramadol. His eyes were dim, like somebody who take Igbo overdose. And he said, "Daddy, I never rest, oh." Amen. And I told you something yesterday. I said, Christ is taking note of all the sacrifice you are doing. Hallelujah. He's taking note of all the sacrifice you are doing. He brought them to the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the fivefold ministry. And he said, take care of them with these 2 pence. If you spend more when I come, I will repay you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is what that water signifies. For it is written in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24-25. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 and verse 25. Talking about Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. For ye have sheep. I'm reading the next verse 25. Praise the Lord. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Praise the Lord. Because what he did fulfilled Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to verse 5. All these scriptures are scriptures we all know, but sometimes I repeat it because, hallelujah, because there are some people that maybe for the first time they'll be hearing this message. There are people that may be coming to a ministry like this for the first time that talk about the cross of Jesus. Maybe the church we are going to every Sunday is to talk about 39 steps to success. But I'm here to talk to you that by 39 stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. Okay, so you may not know that the 39 steps to success came by the 39 stripes that Jesus Christ received. So we need to dissect this very well. Let's read on Isaiah 53. From verse 1. Who has believed our report? That is, who will believe what happened on the cross? That is the gospel. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has the revelation of what happened that make God to give his only begotten son? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. See his description. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Anytime I take a look at, before we continue, anytime I meditate on the mystery of godliness, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Brethren, do you know that this man that was hanging on the cross on Calvary, this man that he came by birth, blood and water, in the womb of a woman, this man that they were beating and slapping and hitting everywhere, did you know or do you know that that was the creator of the heavens and the earth? Hey! His name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You have not sat down to say, why Emmanuel? There is God with us. The man that was hanging on the cross, that was crying and weeping in anguish, was the creator of that man that was killing him. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And his disciples, who were not sure of what was happening to, when they came to arrest him, one brought out a sword and cut off the ear, ready to fight and die. And he said, hey, stop that. You think I'm not able to protect myself? Hallelujah. Another account to say, when they say we're looking for that Jesus, and he said, I am he. Anointing released, all of them fell down. Then they stood up again. Instead of them to go back, they still held him. It was the Lord's doing. When I sit down and I meditate on the great mystery for salvation, it's too hard for me to understand. And that is what many people don't understand and live the type of life we live, still claiming to be Christians. That knowledge will humble you. That knowledge is what I want to do everything to impart on the members of this church, so that you will be the type of people that will defend your faith, not defend your church. Defend your faith. And the symbol of our faith is the cross. Defend it. And stop defending your church. Fight, he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There is no name called Bride Assembly in heaven. The name of your church is not in heaven. The name that is in heaven is your own personal name that is in the book of life. Oh, glory be to God. Therefore, give diligence to make your own calling and election sure. Your pastor may know you, your church may know you, but Christ may not know you. So what is the gain of your faith? And you can only do that by a revelation. Verse 3. Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men. You see? Your own maker, your creator. We saw him as a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But whether you esteem him or not, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's why that songwriter says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. And so I've been trying to tell us why the cross is a symbol of our faith. But now, as the topic goes, the topic for today, why the cross? Why didn't he just use a knife, they cut off his head? After all, the important is that he will die. The important is for him to die. Why didn't they just poison him? Why didn't they just lay him down and stone him and stone him and stone him until he dies? Why did he choose the cross and not some other means of dying. That is our topic for today. Why the cross? Remember, praise the Lord. In John chapter 3 verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, why must he be lifted up? Because John, in introducing him, said, behold, somebody shall behold. Say it again. Behold means, it's calling your attention, look. Look. And he said, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the children of Israel committed sin and serpent was biting them. They were dying. God gave the solution. Moses, make a brazen serpent, a serpent of brass, hang it on a pole. He didn't say put it on the altar. He didn't say put it anywhere else. It has to be on a pole. Why a pole? So that everyone that has an eye to see, just lift up, you will see it. Everybody will see it. When they say behold, then he has to be in a position where everybody will see him. That is why he was lifted up. That's why he had to use the tree, the cross. So that you won't say one tall person in front of you, like Apostle Onya is in front. So he blocked my side. I could not see it. He lifted him above the height of Sister Ify and Brother Onya. Tall, tall people, long, long people. Everybody. And you know what? He had to take him to a high ground. He had to take him to a mount and put him there in a place they call Golgotha. They had to lift him there so that from anywhere in the city you can see him. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. So you have no excuse to say you didn't know him, you didn't see him. Everybody saw him. And so in John chapter 12, verse 32 and verse 33, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. He shouted, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How will you hear him? How will you know who is talking? He had to be lifted up. For a witness, for evidence, for all to see. That is why the cross was used.